Well, thank you to everyone who's read this evening as we've gone from a promise of a child who would be born hundreds of years before that first Christmas to the events of that night in and around that little town of Bethlehem. And what we have to realize is what we've read this evening, it isn't just something that we get out once a year and then forget about it for the 11 months of the year. The good news of Christmas is for every single day of the year, for all of us. And so in our brief time together this evening, what we're seeking to do is to connect the history of 2,000 years ago with the reality of the everyday lives that you and I live. Now, we've had recently school children visit us through December to learn something about that first Christmas. And when I asked the children if they felt December was going slowly, you might be able to guess. They said, oh, yes, it is. It's going so slowly. And when we're younger, December feels like that, doesn't it? It's the slowest month of the year. For children, even next Christmas, it feels like a couple of decades away. But for the older of us, maybe, they just seem closer together. Is it really Christmas again? So soon, didn't we just have it? And here it is again. Before we finish having our summer barbecues and the children are back in school after the holidays, the first signs of Christmas, they start appearing on the shelves in the shops. How much will the share tubs of chocolates be this Christmas, we ask. That said, there are some towns that have Christmas shops open all the year round. I visited one once in Stratford. It's July and there's Christmas songs and tinsel and it feels so bizarre. But whether it's in the shops, the Christmas radio stations that you quietly tune into in the middle of autumn, or the early Christmas card that you got at the start of November, or even the Christmas light switch on. And in the big cities around the UK, it's 6 or 7 weeks before Christmas. Christmas just seems to get a really big build-up, doesn't it? The long run-up just seems to go on and on. And maybe you love that. You relish it every moment, get the Christmas songs on as soon as possible. Or maybe you're not so keen on it being strung out. If you had it your way, we'd all put our decorations up on Christmas Eve and then take them down again on Boxing Day. We can all test that, can't we, how much we enjoy those kinds of things by asking, well, what's the date you head to the attic or to the cupboard under the stairs to get the tree and the tinsel? Even when we get to December, for most of us, unlike the children, for the first 24 days of December, they absolutely rush by. And maybe this is the only moment, the only hour that you're taking in this season where you've just got a moment to breathe, to pause and to sit and just to reflect for a little. But then maybe over a mince pie downstairs in a moment, we'll ask each other, well, are you ready for Christmas? Maybe you've had those conversations with people in work or your neighbours recently. Are you ready for Christmas? And by that we mean, have you bought all the presents? Have you posted all the cards? Have you bought all the food? And have you got enough to survive some shops being closed for 2 days? How are we going to survive? Are you ready for Christmas? Or have you forgotten something? And I don't want to cause you to worry by listing those things. We can think later about whether we've got enough Brussels sprouts. But have we forgotten something? We might have been so busy the last few weeks, shopping online, shopping in store, writing all the cards, making plans for this particular season, that we've forgotten something that is so important that actually we're not truly ready yet for Christmas. I wonder, are you really ready for Christmas this year? What do I mean? Well, from the beginning of time, as we've heard readings this evening, God was preparing the world for the very first Christmas. The first book of the Bible tells us that when the first human beings disobeyed God, sin came into the world. And by that, Christians mean right doing and wholeness was replaced with wrongdoing and brokenness. And that is why you and I live in the world we do today. That's why as we approach another Christmas, there are countries that are still at war with each other, even on our own continent. In our own nation, we have many problems. And in our own lives, maybe you are wrestling with many difficulties. But even then, in the midst of that brokenness, God deliberately promised that there would be one who would come and make everything that is sad come untrue. It would take centuries for that first promise to become clear. But it was made. And while lots of people can let us down, in our lives. Maybe you've known something of that. The one true living God is one who always keeps his promises. And I'd argue that that's the only way to really make sense of the world in which we live. Because if you continue to read on through the Bible, you'd find that more and more detail is given about how this promise God has made was going to happen. We read of prophets, God's messengers, foretelling that there would be a promised child who would be born of a virgin. We heard read from Isaiah 9 a little earlier by Matt that he would be God himself taking on humanity, and that this Son of God would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God would himself reveal himself on earth. And he would do that in a little town of Bethlehem that we've sung of and heard promised in Micah chapter 5, read to us earlier. The promise that God had made, it would be fulfilled in the greatest Christmas gift ever given, God himself. And so you see, friends, Christmas is not a random thing. It wasn't just a coincidence. But God was preparing humanity. He was getting the world ready for what you and I truly needed. We've heard from the book of Luke this evening. Luke was a doctor and he wrote and prepared and investigated everything in his writing so thoroughly. And there we read that it was shepherds on the hills near Bethlehem. They were the first to be told what would happen at that first Christmas, that God had come. They were made ready to celebrate the very first Christmas when an angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And they went straight away from the hillsides, leaving their sheep for a few hours so they could visit this baby, the promised rescuer born to them, who is good news for all people. And you might be wondering, well, why all this focus on a Savior? We sang earlier, didn't we, in Silent Night, that Christ the Savior is born. That is what Christmas is all about. But what does that mean? Why do we need a Savior? What do we need a Savior for? You might be thinking, well, I'm doing okay as I am. I'm not in deep trouble or distress. Why do I need rescuing? Well, friends, you might have seen this week that the World Darts Championships have started every year. It takes place at Alexandra Palace in London, or Ali Pali to the fans. And it's a huge sporting event, thousands of people packed in every night. And you might not be so fussed on the darts, but lots of people love it. For some, it is a part of their Christmas tradition to watch the World Championships every year over this next fortnight or so. You might not think it's much of a sport. Maybe you've given it a go in the past. And if you have, then you'll appreciate it's really not as easy as they make it look. The lowest number of darts that you need to win a leg to score 501 is 9 darts. 9 perfect darts in a row will win you a leg. And some of the best have managed that live on TV. One Dutch guy did that this week. But they don't do that every leg. It's too difficult. No darts player has ever thrown a perfect dart every time they've ever thrown a dart in every match they've ever played. Sometimes they miss. Sometimes they miss by quite a bit and they hit entirely the wrong number they were aiming for. Or sometimes they miss by just a millimeter. It's the width of a wire. But they don't hit their intended target. And every time they do that, they give the opponent another chance. And no matter how good they are, even if they're number one in the world, they don't hit the target every time. And you know, friends, it's just like that for us. Just like how no darts player throws a perfect dart every throw in every match, so too in our lives, we don't live a perfect life every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year. No matter we miss by a long way or just by a little, not one of us reaches the perfection of God in every moment of every day of our lives. Not one of us have lived a perfect, blameless life. And that is why Jesus Christ comes to earth. God himself takes on flesh and becomes one of us, just like you and I, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, to save us from our rebellion against God. To be honest, we go about our lives thinking that we know what's best. But God comes into this world to save us from our separation that naturally exists when we go our own way instead of following him. The baby who was born in a wooden crib would one day be nailed to a wooden cross, and there he would suffer as he takes on himself all of the wrong that you and I have committed against God and against each other. God's love for you and for me is so vast that he knew what we needed from the beginning of humanity. He promised that he would meet our greatest need, and he's done that in sending Jesus Christ to be born as a Savior in Bethlehem. The Lord of all, come to rescue us from our separation from a good and a perfect God. We've sung that Jesus came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, also that he might die and defeat death, rising again from the grave 3 days later, so that all we might be forgiven for those ways we've wronged each other and wronged against our God, and we can come to know him as our loving Heavenly Father. But we've also heard read from Matthew chapter 2 of those wise men, those magi from the east. And they were ready and they were waiting for the first Christmas. They were watching the skies, waiting for a star to appear. And when it did, they followed it and it led them to Bethlehem, stopping over the house where the child was, and they worshipped the king who had come. And this very evening, God has brought us here that we might hear this message and respond to it as only we can, that we might be truly ready for Christmas this year, ready to worship his Son, Jesus the King, the very heart of Christmas. And so for you and I, as we approach another Christmas, we have to take this chance to ask ourselves, are we really ready? Because Christmas comes and Christmas goes, and no matter how much we enjoy it, and the days blur, and we don't know what day it is come Friday, the days are just as long as any other day, and the usual routines of life, they'll be here soon again in January. But because of Christmas, you and I, we can live a whole new life in 2025, because Jesus has come to this world, born as a baby, living a blameless life in every way, accomplishing for us on the cross that which you and I never could by ourselves, no matter how much we try. And friends, to all of us this evening, God says through this Christmas message, stop ignoring me, stop rejecting me, but turn from your own ways to him. Ask him to forgive you for going your own way and not God's way. And he will bring you into the relationship, into the very life that you and I were made for. If we'll put our trust in this Jesus, then not only will we be truly ready for Christmas, but we will find that no matter what the future holds, we need not fear whatever comes our way, because we can know that we are God's dearly loved children for all eternity. And so if you will trust yourself, trust your life to Jesus this evening, then that is the best way to be ready for Christmas and for 2025 and for the rest of your life, and even for the one to come even after you die. Maybe you had a Christmas card through your door from the church this year, and on the front of it said, "Joy to the world." That was the first message to the shepherds on the hillside that first Christmas that we've sung of. But the reality is that you and I will never know the true joy of Christmas until we're ready for Christmas, until you look to God and you tell him you gladly accept this gift to you in the person of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, will you do that tonight, friend? Maybe this is something that you've heard before. You've been to carol services in the past. Maybe you say you once believed it, but you've gone your own way in life. You've not really lived out a life of faith in Jesus up to this point. But I don't think there's any accidents. I believe you're here tonight so that you might hear this invitation to commit your life to Jesus Christ again this evening. Or maybe this is something you know that you've not believed up to now. Maybe you've not been to church all that much before. But as you've sung the carols and you've heard the readings and you're hearing now something of them explained, you're realizing, well, maybe there is actually something more to Christmas than all the trimmings. There is profound and a life-changing message at the core of Christmas, and it's found in the person of Jesus. And as you reflect on your life up to now, you realize that you're missing this unshakable hope and joy that can only be found in Jesus. Friend, you can put your trust in Jesus even today. You can turn from the way that you've been living to him believing that the Lord Jesus Christ at that first Christmas has come into the world and he's lived and he's died and he's risen again for you. That really would be the start of a wonderful new life. And so I'm going to pray for us now, and you can pray with me in your heart. You can make these words your own if what you've heard this evening has spoken to you and you're finding yourself drawn towards this Jesus in his great love for you. If you are, don't ignore that. Friend, you can put your trust in him this evening. He is one who will never let you down. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that at the center of all things, there isn't nothing, but there is you, a God who loves this world so much. And we thank you that you so loved us, that you sent the Lord Jesus into this world at that first Christmas, that he might rescue us from ourselves, that we might know the life you made us for. Please forgive us for going our own way so often. We confess we don't hit that target of perfect living every time. Please help us to personally trust in the Lord Jesus this evening, that we might know lasting peace and joy this Christmas, next year, and through the rest of our lives. Help all of us to be truly ready for Christmas, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.